Good evening and welcome to Cornerstone. In just a few minutes, our concert will begin, but before it does, there are a few things that I wanted to share with you. First, we're glad that you've come tonight. You are our guests, and it is our desire that you enjoy the concert tonight. Second, because of the subject matter of our concert, some of the media images that you will see are graphic in nature, and I wanted you to be aware of that. Third, there may be some questions that come to your mind at the conclusion of the concert tonight, and it is our desire to answer any questions you may have. And you can help us to do that in a couple of ways. First of all, if you would like to speak to one of us after the concert, we would be happy to do that with you. Second, you can pick up an information packet that will look like this. Our ushers will have them at the door. If you'll simply ask for one, they'll provide one for you. Or you can contact us here at the church office anytime. Again, we're glad that you've come. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. come close and listen to a story that will change your life. A great conflict is about to be decided. This conflict has been gaining momentum since the foundation of the world, and nothing will stop this war. Battle lines are being drawn that will determine the fate of humankind. On the one side stands the Almighty and all the hosts of heaven. On the other, the enemy and all of the legions of hell. And in the middle, in the very epicenter of the vicious battle, there hangs a lone figure on a wooden structure that is stained with blood. This forsaken and condemned man has the appearance of a beaten and broken beggar. Oh, but make no mistake, he is a king. His blood is royal beyond comprehension. He knows what is at stake. He knows what is required. He knows the pain and suffering a full and irrevocable victory will cost. This is the account of events that sound like legend, that stretch the imagination beyond reason. Yet all that we will hear is absolutely and eternally true. Come close and listen to a story that occurred long ago in a far-off land, once upon a cross.
Once upon a cross, there hung a spotless lamb, who took my pain and loss, aware of what I am, though justice would be
not forget. The mystery and magnitude of this story is even more remarkable when we consider the majesty that surrounds the Almighty, the creator of worlds, the sculptor of mountains, the designer of continents, the origin of all living things. His praise echoes throughout the universe. All creation gives voice to the glory of God. Centuries before Christ's death on the cross, God gave us a glimpse of what was to come. We see a father, Abraham, leading his only son, Isaac, up a lonely, desolate hill. Out of obedience to the Lord, this most precious life, the sole heir of Abraham's kingdom, will be sacrificed on an altar of wood. Through unfathomable heartache, Abraham climbs the mountain. Isaac close behind. He does not understand what has brought him to this place and time, but choosing to trust and with unfaltering faith, he obeys. Thank you. The ancient laws of sacrifice that God established for His people were about to be radically changed, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Instead of the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, God would provide His only Son, the perfect offering, as the final Lamb, with one final sacrifice for all, an eternal atonement secured at a terrible cost, becomes an irrevocable pardon from the sentence of death. Let us look back on the last week of Christ's life on earth, the week of reflection, the week of betrayal. The week of farewells and remembrance, the week of the cross. Christ's final days on earth begin with spontaneous celebration. It is the Sunday of Passover, and Jerusalem is teeming with countless pilgrims who have come to the holy city to pay homage to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's great excitement and anticipation. God's promise is yet to be fulfilled, and this could be the day Messiah comes to reign. The celebration is contagious. Blessing and honor, glory and power, be to the Ancient of Days.
Atmosphere of unrestrained joy and celebration, a chasm begins to grow between the expectation and the reality of who this king really is. As the palm branches still lay fresh in the streets, the deceiver begins to sow seeds of dissension among those who are still breathless from the excitement of Christ's triumphant entrance into Jerusalem.
Sing, lay palm branches down.
As the crowds who once welcomed Jesus now turn against him, Christ's disciples are among the few who still cling to his words. Amid the turmoil that surrounds the events of this last week, we witness a tender time of fellowship between Jesus and his disciples at what was to be their last supper together. The heart of the Savior is moved by the love he has for these men who've shared his walk. He speaks words of comfort, knowing what they soon will all face.
Remember what I taught you. Remember what you've heard. Remember how I loved you and how I cherished God's own word. Soon I will be leaving. With my Father I will be. Never doubt that I am with you. Never fear. Remember me. Remembered quiet moments. Remember days of joy. Remember times of victory that no power can destroy. Remember Father's mercy as the blind were made to see. When you think of those that love you, hear your heart. Remember me. Just remember I'm beside you through each moment, through each day. So don't let your heart be troubled. Through my spirit you will see. When you think of those that love you, hear your heart. Remember me. When you think of those that love you, hear your heart. Remember me. Remember me.
They move to the Garden of Gethsemane as Jesus seeks some solitude and prayer. It would not be long before even these men, his closest friends, desert him for fear of losing their own lives. In anguish, Christ cries out to God to let this cup pass from him. Yet he knows this cannot be. And with a heart burdened with the knowledge of all that will be, he obediently relinquishes his will to his Father. Three times he returns from the privacy of his prayer to find his disciples sleeping. In his last moments with them, he calls out, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." The still solitude of the garden is shattered by the hateful noise of the approaching crowd.
This is the bread that they call King of Kings. We know what we heard and we know what we saw.
He brought to trial.
yes, it is another Father, the Heavenly Father, who leads His only Son, the heir to His kingdom, up a lonely, desolate hill to be sacrificed on an altar of wood. Only this time, there will be no last-minute reprieve, no ram caught in the thicket. What God did for Abraham, He does not do for Himself. It is for the love of each of us that He gives His child to be offered in our place. God removes His hand of protection, and Jesus, the Prince of Glory, obedient unto death, allows the very ones He will die to save to brutally place Him on a cross. Forsaken and broken hangs the Lamb of God.
As death begins to claim him, forgiveness is his cry. For the sake of all they cherish, God's own Son must surely die.
Heaven's legions have withdrawn. God removes his shielding hand. Alone to face hell's fury hangs the Savior, Calvary's Lamb.
Thank you.
This is an event to remember. It is a memory that will grieve us. And yet, if you have personally accepted this gift of sacrifice, it will also bring you comfort and joy. Just as the cross, an instrument of death, becomes our reminder of peace and hope, the fear of night gives way to the eternal light of glory that shines more brightly in the shadow of the cross.
Across time's vast horizon, beyond the mortal sight, there stands a striking silhouette, dividing dark and light. Atop a skull-shaped summit, Christ alone paid the cost. Draw me nearer, precious Jesus, to the shadow of the cross. In the shadow of the cross, pain I can finally see. In the shelter of your open arms, my heart can rest in thee. Inscribed upon my brand new heart is the wonder of the price that you paid to buy my pardon. My gain became your loss. Draw me nearer, precious Jesus, to the shadow of the cross, in the shadow of the cross.
Shelter of your open arms, my heart can rest in
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Jesus, we just want to thank you for the cross. We want to thank you for the love that ultimately took you to that cross. For love that pursued us and will never let us go. For a love that in the end will allow us to stand before you forgiven and accepted and alive. Because your Son chose to die on the cross in our place for our sins. Tonight, overwhelmed, we bow in reverence and we worship you, dear Jesus.
Because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted, you were condemned, and I'm alive and well, your Spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven. You were
amazing love, how can it be?
Thank you. You may be seated.
What would you think if you came in here this evening and you noticed that all of the ladies in the choir had earrings that were in the shape of the mushroom cloud that was formed over Hiroshima from the atomic bomb? Or if you came into this worship center tonight and over on this wall was a huge mural that was showing the gas chambers in Auschwitz and even depicting some of the mass graves just outside the fence. Or, if as part of the concert tonight, someone came out here and sat on a stool and took an acoustic guitar and began to sing a ballad to an electric chair, professing adoration and devotion, I would think that any one of those would be disturbing, to say the least. But if we picked up a person from one of the cities in the Roman Empire during the life of Christ, and we were able to take that person and bring him to this place tonight, that would be his response to the cross. You see, a crucifixion was not something that Roman citizens were ever subjected to. It was a death that was reserved for the barbarians, for the slaves, for the lowest life in that empire. In many circles, crucifixion was not even considered to be a polite topic of conversation, and many people wouldn't even speak of it. So why is it that that which was so repulsive has become for us the heart and soul of who we are? Because at the cross, it was where the justice of God met and embraced the grace of God. Let's say that in the coming weeks, Brian Nichols is brought back into an Atlanta courtroom. This time, I'm guessing with a greater level of security. And when he stands before a judge this time, the judge looks at Brian and says, "You know, buddy, you've been through a lot. And I'm just really feeling for you today. So I'm going to let you go free." Not only would this entire nation scream of the injustice of that, but there wouldn't be a judge in this country who would be safe. To let a man who has killed not only a judge, but a federal agent and two others, to let him go free, we would say, "That's not fair. You can't do that." So then I ask you, how can God forgive sin?
If God is a God of justice, how can God say, your sin, it's okay, when it's not okay? And on the other hand, how can God be a God of grace when if God dares to show His grace and His love and His mercy upon someone, He does so at the expense of His justice? That is the eternal tension that is only resolved at the cross. Let me explain how. In the book of Romans, chapter number 3, verse 25, the Bible says that God provided Christ as, and here's a long word, as a propitiation. It means as a sacrifice who turned away the wrath of God. And then, in Romans chapter 5, the Bible says that God commended His love toward us in that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So what is it? Is the cross the place where God's wrath was satisfied? Or is the cross the place where God was able to pour out His love upon us? And the answer is, it's both. Because at the cross, and only at the cross, was the justice of God satisfied. Because God is a God of justice. And the wages of sin is death. And those wages have to be paid. And it was at the cross where the payment for our sin was paid in full. And the wrath of God against sin was satisfied, which freed God to be able to pour out His love upon us without in any way violating His justice. That's only possible at the cross. You see, you and I have a problem. Our sin that only God can solve. But He did. And He did at tremendous expense. We've seen some of the images tonight of some of the graphic nature of what death by crucifixion involved. And as repulsive as that is, it's not just the fact that Christ went through so much that ought to draw us to Him. It's more than the fact that He suffered. The issue is, He satisfied. He satisfied God's wrath against sin. If you have been looking to yourself, or perhaps looking to your religion, trusting in, believing in the fact that, you know, you're not as bad as people like Brian Nichols in this world, or other people that you rub shoulders with, and you think, you know what? When I get to the end of this life and I stand before God, He'll look at my life in comparison to others and say, well, you weren't perfect, but you're not as bad as some, so
Come on into heaven. I hope that you can see after tonight that if that's what you're trusting in, then the worst thing that God could ever have done is put His Son through that. God sent His Son for you. But His life and His death only benefits you if you individually, personally, put the weight of your soul, the trust of your life in Him and in Him alone. We are passionate about this message, and we love to present it in song, because this is not only the heart and soul of who we are, this is the most critical issue that you could ever deal with in all of life. If you're here tonight and you're not certain that if you were to die today that God would accept you into His heaven, if you're not sure about your relationship to Him or whether or not you have ever put the weight of your soul upon Christ, then I invite you tonight to reach out with the arms of your heart and accept Christ as your Savior. Trust in Him. You just tell God, God, I recognize I'm a sinner. I recognize that I deserve Your justice. But Christ satisfied it for me in my place. And tonight, I accept Him as my Lord and my Savior. And if that is the desire of your heart, you tell that to God, will you please? And then after the concert is over, would you please just let me know? Because I want to rejoice with you. Gracious Father, we thank You for what You have provided for us in Christ. We thank You for every step He took on this earth, every word that He said, everything that He did, which fulfilled Your righteous standard, which enabled Him to be a sacrifice that was perfect and complete, that satisfied Your justice. And thank You. Thank You that You chose Him as the sacrifice that paid the penalty for our sin, so that we could be forgiven. We could be declared righteous. We could be given the gift of eternal life that will never be taken away. We can be given the purpose for living. Father, thank You for these who have come tonight to be reminded of this, and some to finally understand what it really means. And I pray on their behalf that even right now You'll help them. Give them the eyes to see. Help them to reach out with the arms of their heart and trust only in You and be born into Your eternal family forever. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
close and listen to a story that is endless. Our staggering debt of sin has been paid. Our home in heaven is being prepared. Our eternal freedom has been secured. This story of our pardon, this proclamation of His victory over death, this declaration of our dependence on His mercy and grace will be forever retold, but never repeated. Love's redeeming work was done once upon a cross.
Once upon a cross, there hung a spotless lamb who took my pain and loss aware of what I am, though justice would be met, mercy paid the cost. Oh, may I not forget once upon a cross.
Once upon a
thank you. Good night.